Ready for a deep dive into a masterpiece? We're taking on Leonardo da Vinci's Lady with an Ermine today. And let me tell you, there's way more to this portrait than just a pretty face.
Oh, absolutely. It's a window into the Italian Renaissance, full of secrets and scandals, way more than meets the eye.
Okay, I am so here for this. So, spill the tea. Who is this mysterious lady with the furry friend?
Well, most likely it's Cecilia Gallerani.
Cecilia Gallerani rings a bell.
She was the mistress of Ludovico Sforza, the Duke of Milan.
Juicy. Okay, so not just a random model then.
Right. But she wasn't just a pretty face either. Cecilia was a celebrated beauty for sure, but also a published poet.
Really? Wow. A Renaissance woman in every sense of the word.
Absolutely. She was known for her sharp intellect as well.
See, this is what I find fascinating. It makes you wonder if Da Vinci was drawn to her intelligence as much as her looks, you know? I mean, this is Leonardo we're talking about. The guy was a genius.
That's a really interesting point. Remember, Leonardo wasn't just a painter. This was a scientist, an inventor, a true Renaissance man himself. He must have thrived on intellectual curiosity. So yeah, it's easy to imagine him being drawn to a kindred spirit like Cecilia.
Right, like the ultimate power couple of the 1400s. But let's not forget this was also a time of, like, arranged marriages and crazy political schemes.
Absolutely.
Didn't Ludovico have a whole other love life going on?
He did. He was actually already committed to marrying Beatrice d'Este for, you know, strategic alliances and all that.
Yes. Political chess matches disguised as weddings. Can you imagine the gossip at court with Cecilia as the Duke's favorite? Oh, to be a fly on the wall in those palazzos. So, okay, Leonardo paints his patron's mistress, probably as a gift for Ludovico, right? But we both know this isn't just some casual snapshot. Every single detail is meticulously chosen.
100%. Let's start with what Cecilia's wearing, that luxurious fabric she's draped in. That's called spurnia.
Spurnia sounds expensive.
Oh, incredibly. It was a huge status symbol back then. And then you have the gold embroidery on her dress, that elaborate hairstyle with the coazone.
Hold up. Coazone. What even is that?
It was a hairstyle very popular with high-ranking women in Milan at the time. Basically a crown of braids, symbolizing her status, not just her beauty.
So every little detail was sending a message.
Exactly. Even the veil, super important. Every element from her clothes to her hair was saying wealth, influence, and subtly hinting at her connection to Ludovico.
Like a visual code announcing her importance to anyone who laid eyes on this portrait.
Precisely. And speaking of visual codes,
Let's
talk about that ermine, shall we? Or what some might call a giant ferret at first glance.
It does look a little oversized now that you mention it.
It is. Notice how it's much larger than a real ermine would be. This isn't about anatomical accuracy. It's about symbolism.
Okay, so symbolic oversized ermine. I'm listening. What's the deeper meaning here?
Well, ermines, especially in their winter coat, were seen as symbols of purity and nobility.
Purity? How so?
There was this ancient belief that ermines would choose death over soiling their white fur.
Wow, hardcore ermines.
Right. Leonardo himself even wrote about this in his notebooks. He was fascinated by this idea.
So we have a creature that represents integrity being held so carefully by the Duke's mistress. And
yes.
That's got to be sending a message, right? Well, like, is Leonardo saying something about Cecilia's character here?
Possibly. But there's another layer to this. See, Ludovico Sforza, he'd chosen the ermine as his personal emblem.
No way. Of course. I should have guessed that.
He even belonged to the Order of the Ermine. It was a chivalric order known for its high ideals.
So the ermine is a shout out to both Cecilia's supposed virtue and Ludovico's own emblem. Talk about multitasking. Leonardo was playing 4D chess with this painting.
Exactly. And it gets even more interesting because, you see, they loved their wordplay in the Renaissance. And the Greek word for ermine, gale, sounds a lot like Gallerani, Cecilia Gallerani.
Whoa, a hidden pun. Connecting the mistress to the emblem even more directly. Da Vinci, you sly dog.
That kind of playful symbolism, totally common back then. Renaissance art was full of these little puzzles meant to make you think, engage with the work on a deeper level. It wasn't just about aesthetics. It was about decoding the meaning hidden within the artwork.
I love that. It's like he's leaving us little clues, these fun little puzzles to solve.
Exactly. And speaking of puzzles, there's another theory about this ermine that just adds another layer to all of this. Some scholars think it could also be a symbol of pregnancy.
Wait, really? I thought we were all about purity and nobility with the ermine.
We were, but ermines were also associated with pregnancy.
Okay, how so?
Well, because of the belief that a pregnant ermine, get this, would rather die than give birth in a dirty den.
No way. They were serious about keeping it clean.
Totally. And here's the thing. Cecilia. She was pregnant with Ludovico's son when this portrait was painted.
Get out. Are you serious?
Yeah.
So the ermine, it's not just about Cecilia. It could be a subtle nod to their love child and the risks that came with being Ludovico's mistress.
Exactly. It just adds a whole other dimension to the painting, don't you think?
Yeah.
This tiny detail that most people probably wouldn't even think twice about. It's like this little whisper about love, ambition, you know, the reality of women in the Renaissance court, all that.
It's insane how much meaning is packed into every brushstroke. And speaking of masterful brushstrokes, can we talk about how he painted Cecilia? I mean, the way she's standing, it's like she's about to turn towards us or something.
Right. That's the magic of contrapposto.
Mm.
It's this technique that Leonardo loved to use to really bring his subjects to life.
Contrapposto. I'm going to impress my art history friends with that one.
Yeah. So you see how her weight is shifted onto one leg, and it kind of creates that subtle twist in her body. It's such a departure from those stiff poses you see in older art. He wanted to give her that natural grace, you know, make her feel more alive.
It totally works. She looks so real. Like she could just step out of the frame. It's amazing how much he revolutionized the way we see people in art.
I know. And you have to remember, Leonardo was obsessed with anatomy, movement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy was dissecting bodies to understand how muscles worked. He filled notebooks with sketches.
Wow, he was like a scientist and an artist all rolled into one.
Exactly. And that's what allowed him to create such realistic and captivating portraits. But, you know, there's something else about this painting that I think is just mind-blowing its journey.
What do you mean?
It survived wars, thefts.
Uh-huh.
It was almost destroyed, like completely. Seriously. During the Polish uprising in the 19th century, this painting was almost lost forever.
What happened?
Princess Czartoryski, she literally smuggled it out of Poland to save it from Russian troops.
A princess on a secret mission to save a painting. That's incredible.
I know. And then during World War II, it was looted by the Nazis.
You're kidding.
Nope. Thankfully, it was recovered and made its way back to Poland. It's crazy the things this painting has seen. It's a survivor for sure.
It's amazing how art can endure even the darkest times. It's like this powerful symbol of resilience, you know? But for everything we've learned about this painting, I have a feeling there are still some mysteries surrounding it, right?
Oh, absolutely. We haven't even scratched the surface. For example, that background. Plain black, right? Not uncommon, but there are some hints that maybe, just maybe, it wasn't always that way.
Wait, what? So what we're looking at now, it's potentially an unfinished masterpiece. What makes them think there's something hidden back there? So what we're looking at now, it's potentially an unfinished masterpiece. What makes them think there's something hidden back there?
So with x-rays and analysis of the paint, they've found what looks like, I don't know, maybe an architectural feature or even like a landscape.
Underneath the black paint.
Yeah. And get this, there might have even been another figure there originally.
Whoa, seriously? Okay, now I have so many questions. Like, who was it? Was it a lover? A rival? Did someone try to erase a whole person from history?
Right. It's a total mystery. We may never know for sure.
What could it have been that was so different from what we see today?
I know. Art historians are dying to know. Maybe the original background got messed up somehow. Or who knows? Maybe taste just changed. And someone decided, you know what? Plain black is back in.
I guess that tracks. Art trends are always changing.
Right. It's just it's such a tease, you know. We're left with this puzzle and we may never have all the pieces.
It really makes you think, even with all our fancy technology, there are still secrets hidden within these works of art, waiting to be unlocked.
Exactly. That's what makes art history so fascinating. It's not just about, like, memorizing names and dates. It's about interpretation, about looking for clues, and honestly, just accepting that we'll never know everything.
Yeah, it leaves room for imagination. We get to be like detectives in a way, trying to piece together these mysteries that the old masters left behind.
Absolutely. And speaking of masters, we haven't even touched on this other theory about the painting. So we've been talking about Cecilia Gallerani as the subject, but some people believe it could actually be Caterina Sforza.
Wait, who?
Ludovico's cousin.
Hmm.
Caterina Sforza.
Okay, another powerful woman connected to our main man. I'm intrigued. What's the story there?
So Caterina, she was a total rock star, known as the Linus of Romagna, fierce ruler, a diplomat, a powerful intellect, the whole package.
I'm seeing a theme here. Ludovico had a type, clearly.
Right. So this theory suggests that maybe, just maybe, the lady with an ermine is more of an allegory, a representation of mental strength, resilience, all that.
Oh, interesting. And the ermine would symbolize what? Cunning.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of just being a portrait of, like, a mistress and her patron, it could be this celebration of female power. disguised as a traditional portrait.
I love that. It just goes to show we can't always take things at face value, right? Especially with art. There's always more to uncover.
100%. We have to keep an open mind.
Well, on that note, as we wrap up our deep dive into Lady with an Ermine, what's the one thing you hope our listeners take away from all of this?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd say next time you look at a painting, any painting, don't just see it. Observe it.
Yeah.
Look at the details, ask questions, and let your imagination run wild. Who knows what you might discover?
Beautifully said. And who knows, maybe you, our listener, will be the one to finally solve the mystery of that missing background or uncover a hidden detail that everyone else has missed. Until next time, keep exploring and keep diving deep into the art world. There's a whole universe waiting to be discovered out there.